welcome back to The Break Room, a Superstore fan podcast. My name is Jordan Wiegand, and with me today I have Aylin Rowland.
Hello.
And Casey McGeorge.
How's it going, everybody?
That was crystal clear. That was great. I'm going great. Casey and I just recorded our WandaVision review late last night, my time. So I got done that at like 2 a.m., went to bed, woke up, and immediately come in here to record this. So this is pretty much my weekend now all the time is this room. Because before I spoke with Casey yesterday, I recorded another podcast for one of my other ones. So I am I record another one on Friday, and I have one on Monday. This is all I do. I don't leave the room anymore. But it's good to have, some Superstore to talk about here as we break down episode 106, which is episode 8 of season 6, called Ground Rules, directed by Victor Nelly Jr. And Jen Varick is the one who wrote it. It aired on February 4th, 2021.
Jonah finds himself in trouble with Sandra and Glenn when her son, Tony, starts working at Cloud9. Mateo tries to help Cheyenne be a better floor supervisor. Garrett is unwittingly thrust in the middle of Dina's relationship with Brian the vet.
Aylin, why don't you give your thoughts first here?
Yes. I quite liked this episode. I liked most of the storylines, which is, kind of similar to last week's episode. I feel like, at least these past couple of episodes are kind of gaining some momentum, in terms of content, but also storylines. So I'm excited to see where they go. The Dina and Garrett and Brian stuff in this was probably my favorite. So we'll get into that. But I liked it. It was pretty good.
I thought it was probably better than last week. Better than biscuit and hair care products for me, I think. So a little bit of a, increase for me. I do think we still get at times the unnecessary, people being mean to each other. That has just become so part of the show's DNA at this point, I guess. But other than that, I thought it was great. So Mateo upset me in this episode, but not as much as I think I thought he would after hearing what people said about this episode, actually, before I watched it. I thought that Cheyenne's way, while probably not something I would enjoy, having to, one, remember all the rules with the stone that Saeed has and, the skip stone or whatever, and then there's the other things that they can use. So, other than that, the people were liking it and they were all into it. It made the assignments almost like a game for them. And like you said, it got the job done. There's nothing really for Mateo to criticize here except for her style. But if it's working, it's working. She knows her audience. She knows what works for her. What was your thoughts on that, Aylin?
Mateo was definitely getting on my nerves about that, but I expected as much, just because, like you said, for one, he's probably kind of jealous that she is floor supervisor in the first place, and also that people seem to work pretty okay with the way she was giving directions. But I think it's funny to see Cheyenne in that role anyway. I was really curious as to if they were, really going to show her doing what she should be doing. That sounds kind of funny, I know, but being floor supervisor and actually taking it somewhat seriously. So, yeah, Mateo definitely would have bugged me if that were me. You know what I mean?
Because, definitely.
Yeah, it's just he's coming for, especially toward the end of the episode. I hate to jump that far already, but he was still already expecting her to apologize to him. You remember?
Yeah, it's not her fault that you showed your junk to everybody because you were trying right. to act yeah. like Cheyenne.
Yeah. The whole legging fiasco, that surprised me. like when they were at that point and when they were dressing up and acting like each other and making fun of each other, that was funny. And then, you know, when he came in the back there in the break room and everyone was like, we can see your junk.
Yeah. I was
like, but, oh, God.
Yeah, I do like that she didn't really take that crap from him, and that she called him out on everything, you know, like she called him mm-hmm. out saying you're just jealous because you want to relive your glory days, which I think is true. He was trying to make it all about him being a illegal immigrant, that or else he would have the job, but that's not true, because as we've seen, they've been able to skirt the rules before, that if they really wanted Mateo to have some more authority, they would give it to him the same way he's now Glenn's assistant, even though he's not actually Glenn's assistant, you know,
right.
technically. And yeah, he definitely wants more than the role that he has right now, but he can't until that's resolved. But we don't know if we're going to get that big of a resolution. Yeah, for me, like I said, it wasn't, I mean, he was unreasonable. I hate it more when he is, being more mean. This, it was almost more like backhanded complimenting at times, and wanting to enforce his style onto her, thinking he could control her from their friendship, which is bad in its own end. But when he really grates on me, it's him just being like overtly bullyish. And while this mm-hmm. is a form of bullying, I would say, with him trying to enforce himself, it's I think more understandable in the sense of he wants to, he misses that style. And one, he's like, nobody's going to respect you like that. Like most people would think. Right. But he doesn't really care mm-hmm. that it's working for her. And, she's not just a doormat really anymore. We've seen it with times, but I think with Mateo, she's more of somebody that's going to stand up and call him out on it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Cause I think maybe back in, say, season one, he maybe could have pulled that with her, you know, but not anymore, not now. Cheyenne has kind of proven herself. Like you said, she even occasionally stands up to, other people. She's kind of done it to Dina, even, on mm-hmm. the yeah. Occasion. So she's not as much of a pushover, like you would think, so. Which is good to see. Growth. There's some growth.
I guess we can move on to the, what do we want to do next? Dina and Garrett's relationship?
And Brian the vet.
Yeah, this was a, this is not how I expected this plot line to go. I think that it was, I did find parts of it funny and such. I just do think it was strange. It makes me wonder, again, this is before they knew the show was ending, so this might reverse some of these decisions later. But I was starting to think that maybe they would just actually get together by the end. But it seems like yeah. she really does like Brian the vet as her boyfriend, but she's fine with when he's away to have sex. Now, of course, it's easier said than done. This could be something mm-hmm. that starts and then develops.
Blows up in their face.
Garrett yeah. kind of shows that he thinks he still has feelings, which is why I think he doesn't want to originally do it. It isn't until Jonah mm-hmm. says something that he kind of decides to go back and agree to it. But all the weird stuff that they had to sit through and the stuff he had to agree to, I would probably be the same way and walk out as well. Aylin, what was your thoughts on this?
Oh, yeah. I really liked it. Like you were saying, I did not see this coming. but then again, right after Dina said it, yeah, it kind of made sense to me because she's, I guess, clearly liking dating the vet, and she still wants some Garrett on the side, I guess, you know. And I expected as much that Garrett would not be into it right away because he wants all of Dina, not just some of her. But, of course, he's not going to tell her that, at least not right away, right now. I love the, you know, sit down with all of them. Also, yeah, then later when Jonah is talking to Garrett about it and he says, you know, like, well, if there's not feelings there, then you would think you'd be, you know, like into it if it's just physical, you know, and like the little light bulb goes off. And and then when he's telling Dina, my favorite part was when she said, oh, yeah, I'll tell the doctor. And he thinks she's talking about Brian, but she's like scheduled him all kinds of STI tests. And she like leans over and says, you're going to need to fast or something.
Yeah, yeah.
On Tuesday. I thought that was funny. I laughed pretty good at that one. But yeah, this is going to be really interesting to see how long this actually lasts for, because this is going to blow up in, you know, Garrett's face. And I would imagine, I really want him to, at some point, just sort of say, no, I don't want it. I can't do it anymore. And she's going to be like, why, you know, probably. And he's just going to finally blurt it out, don't you think? That he wants to actually date her.
Yeah. I think so. And that's going to, that's going to put Dina in a spot where she's going to have to, I guess, choose.
Yeah.
Right. And Brian's going to be away for months, did they say? Right? Wasn't it something like that?
Was it that long?
3 months, I thought.
Oh, yeah. That, or it won't even come to that, and maybe Dina will realize, well, they're doing this open relationship that she wants more, or only Garrett. I don't know. That's more of a thing I can't see happening. It's more the first thing I said, but...
Yeah.
Because it's Dina, and, you know, human emotion is a little tricky with her.
They even bust out the bear, you know? Yeah, the downside, I guess, from Garrett's position would be, you know, that he wants more than that. The downside from Dina's perspective is that doing this, like Aelin said, might cause her to reevaluate with Brian. If that's what she wants, ultimately, then that's not really a downside, but it could ruin her relationship that she seems happily in currently. But also, they were on the verge of kissing anyway before they made this, so maybe Dina would have always have kind of looked for some way to get something during these 3 months that Brian is going to be gone. So, who knows? Maybe it saves that relationship. What happens if Brian has to go back another time for a different set of things, or, you know, go somewhere else? And, you know, Dina would either have to choose to go with him, or, you know, this relationship may not continue to work. You know, I'm somebody that did have a long distance relationship with my wife for a total of 10 months in two different stints of 5 months. Five of those months were just 3 months after we started dating. And then the next one was about 2 years into our relationship. And that can be difficult, obviously. You know, the reason why I had to even be away for 5 months each stint was because I was doing the Disney College program at Disney World. I'd already got accepted before we had started dating the first time. And, you know, we said we would do long distance. And, you know, we both put in the work. We call each other every day. We Skype each other for, you know, hours. Mm-hmm. You know, you can make it work. A lot of those relationships that started off long distance with other people I know down there did not last in that time. So it can be difficult. The second time was because I missed Disney and I asked her if I could go back for another stint before I, because it was my last semester as a college student, and you can't enroll after that. So I enrolled during my last semester. I was like, hey, if I get in again, is it okay if I go? You know, she said, yeah. And I went ahead and did that for another stint down there. And that one was an even better program work-wise, but because I wasn't making food, I was doing merchandise. But, you know, it can be tough. But ultimately, you know, you can make it work if you want to. And that's what Dina is trying to do here with having, you know, a side piece here, part of the team.
A side piece.
Part of the tricycle.
Yeah. Do you think it was more interesting, too, that because her coming up with that idea is not so surprising to me, but were you... Like, I was kind of surprised that Brian is, like, okay with it.
Some people you know are. I mean? They, you know, some people might just like the companionship more than the actual physical part or be able to separate that. I think, I don't recall. Did Brian specifically say Garrett, or was it then Dina's job to find the third person? Because I do find it interesting that if that is the case, you know, obviously she told him about them almost kissing. So maybe he was like, well, then why don't you just do that with Garrett, right? But
yeah,
I'm finding it interesting if that was her choice to be like, oh, I want Garrett in on this, you know, somebody I guess she's familiar with, but also that might show that she has feelings there as well.
Right. He's like okay with it in the sense of he's saying that, but then, yeah, I mean, how many boyfriends, if I use that word, okay with their girlfriend coming up and asking to be in an open relationship with other people. But yeah, I mean, he might have just been saying it to make her happy. But at the same time, that still kind of allows for a little bit of him being okay with it, only because, you know, otherwise some people, the minute you say that, would be like, no. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Absolutely not, no.
I think he was okay with it. I was trying to watch him the whole time. I thought maybe he wasn't going to be okay with it. And in fact, when she started kind of insulting his role, I thought maybe that would change something. You know, when she's like, you're not going to get any of this boring boyfriend stuff. You know, if something happens to me, I come crying to him, not you. I thought maybe then he was going to be like, oh, wait, so I'm just going to be like the...
Yeah, the boring part.
You know, to me, I think, you know, he seemed totally like nodding his head, smiling that whole time. I think he's genuine. I think he is fine with this.
Yeah. Could be interesting to see, but yeah, something's going to happen though. So it's only a matter of time. I think I will say, I thought it was funny when Dina came over to where Jonah was while they were still kind of in the midst of this, and he's like sort of complimenting Dina about like how new and kind of a cool she's being with this open relationship concept, and she goes, oh, like she's thinking he wants in on it.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, we're at capacity. I just had to mention that. That was a funny little bit. Speaking of Jonah.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I mean, just every moment that leads up to the incident, is what we can call it, and then right after the incident, Sandra is just, I mean, she's the, what are the phrase now for parents? She's the helicopter mom, or, you know, where she's, like, coddling her teenage kid, which, to be fair, it's Sandra. Also, to Sandra's thing, she skipped the whole, you know, have a tiny baby, tiny child, you know, phase of becoming a mother. So she's probably displacing some, you know, maternal instincts there on a 17-year-old, whereas normally, you know, she would be doing that to a 5-year-old, like Casey said.
What I found about Jonah, right? Jonah's saying that they need to speed up at some points. He's also not being very clear what aisle everything is in for this guy. You know, like the pizzas are out on the pallet while they're stocking the fridge stuff, but we don't even really see the frozen section from here. So where's the pizza supposed to go? But then he, you know, he goes and leaves Tony for quite a bit, and he's talking with Garrett about the relationship thing, comes back, and then he's like, oh, we really got to get moving on this. And then that's when the beer's in the fridge or,
exploding.
Freezer.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're not even really training him, Jonah. I get that, you know, it is frustrating training people that don't get it. I've been there as a trainer. So I totally understand the frustration, but if you're not actually being around to help them with it, if you're not going to actually kind of show them what to do, he's kind of like, from all we've seen here, is that he's telling Tony, we're stocking this stuff, and then he's confused when Tony doesn't realize how to do that. This kid, yes, he's 17, going on 30, but he is, you know, he may not have had a job before. This is probably his first job, as we're seeing here. And you got to be able to explain in simple terms how you do what you do, and to be able to get him to follow the directions. He may still suck. He may still suck, but at least we got to see more from Jonah of actually trying to train him.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I think it was still just more like on their end, maybe, like I'm talking the writer's end with this plot line, showing that, you know, a little bit to the thing of, yeah, Tony's kind of, I don't want to say dumb, but, you know, he's not catching on. But, yeah, you can't just assume that even though it's not hard to stalk like that stuff, that everyone just inherently knows how to do that. You know, again, it's not super hard, but you still, like you said, have to show people, you know, a defined way how to do something.
You'll have to teach them first in, first out. You know, he's going to have to rotate the stock. He's, you know, you're going to have to show him all that stuff, and that's going to help him realize he has to take the plastic off everything.
And see, the problem, too, with that was that he was already a little bit like that anyway, not, you know, Jonah, with not being that clear. But then, see, on top of that, then what happened was, and for the rest of his story, is then Nia is over there, and Tony makes the comment about her wanting Jonah, and then Jonah's
wanting his nuts.
Wanting his nuts, yes, which is actually like the line that made me laugh the most in the episode. But, and then I hate to say it, but then because of that, we know how, like Casey just said, Jonah's kind of scatterbrained, and he's distracted easily by this idea, right?
Of a woman.
Nia
yeah.
being interested in him, because Jonah didn't think that at all before Tony said that. You know what I mean? He just thought she was being nice and friendly, and they talk, I guess, politics, because they probably have similar, you know, opinions and all of that. So I, on top of him not being clear and everything, that whole idea, Jonah just took and ran with and was like, okay, see ya, you know, to Tony. We gotta get this moving because I want to go. He wanted to go talk to her, you know, so...
Yeah, he just wanted to be excited about a woman again. That's what it was.
Yeah. And
he didn't care who it was.
He didn't, really. And like that whole thing didn't bother me at all in this episode. In fact, it kind of made me a little bit almost sad again. Not in the sense of feeling like sorry for him, but it just made me sad just in general, like that you know, for people who try to move on, you know, from exes. And they get just, like, even a tiny bit excited about the idea of someone. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. I'm only laughing because of the fact that Jonah was kindly rejected, but, you know, not because she didn't say she didn't want to go out with him, but, yes, because she's a lesbian. And it's so funny because I wish I had been more surprised by that, but I actually, right before she said that, I just saw somebody tweet thinking that she was on Twitter when I was on there. And so I was like, oh, yeah. And then it happened, so I wasn't surprised. So sometimes I wish I would stay off Twitter while I'm, you know, watching the show. Maybe I would have been more like, oh, you know, I don't know. Were you guys surprised?
I wasn't because, again, I watched this on Friday afternoon, and on Thursday night I saw somebody say we have a lesbian character and now we're getting canceled. But, you know, I kind of figured it was going to be Nia. Did anybody find her characterization different?
You mean from before?
Yeah, the floor supervisor episode. She was all like, yeah, I'll take some breadsticks. And in this, she's giving deep political thoughts here about an election and stuff. So I thought it was kind of different. But I'm guessing maybe this was part of the
characters. Maybe that was before she got to know him.
Could be that, yeah. I also think that maybe it's just character differences as they're figuring out who she is. But this is, like you said, the only part where I really feel bad for Jonah in this situation is because of, one, Tony totally stocked all of the beer in the freezer, so they started exploding. Jonah had to try to get him out. Again, though, this is partly Jonah's fault. He left him completely alone to stock this stuff. In this episode, I think Sandra bothered me more than Mateo.
Sandra was...
with this. I get he's your kid and stuff, but and I get he's telling you that Jonah was yelling at him, which he kind of was, right? But
he said he hit him. Like, he didn't say, it was an accident. Like, Tony didn't say that at all. I mean.
Right. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
I am glad, though, that they did the whole, you know, Nia knows that he didn't purposely hit him. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, oh, thank God. Because even though that relationship doesn't work out, it's just somebody at least had common sense in this whole thing, because then they go in the back room and they're throwing everything that's happened with Jonah in weird situations that you're like, oh man, they're bringing that back up, and it makes him look really
makes
bad.
Makes him look really, although it was funny hearing all those references to his past little things and his moments and all that.
Saeed had a great line here. You know, when Jonah's like, you know, I threw her a bridal shower or whatever.
Yeah.
And Saeed's like, don't let him throw your kids. Don't let him throw yourself a bridal shower. He'll take it out on your kids or whatever.
Yeah.
Which was great.
And then there was a reference to his gambling problem.
Yes. They brought that back up. Yeah.
It was a reference to, a few things. And I just, you know, what I thought of in that moment, because it's, I only say that because of the other episode, you know, with like the everybody feeling sorry for Jonah. But I'm like, oh, I remember this feeling. I had this feeling when it was Amy, when everyone was, just say, crapping on Amy. And now I'm like, it's the crap on Jonah show. Look, who has he replaced? I mean, it's not to the extent of Amy, I think, because when I mean Amy, I mean not just the characters, but like legit that season, the writers were basically crapping on her by like, you know, having her go back to work 2 days after having a baby, and like everyone was just being god awful to her on the show, and it just seemed like it bled through the writer's pen. Of course, for story and for comedy, but nevertheless, it felt really, like, monotonous at times, you know?
It reminded me of Mateo giving Amy a bunch of crap when she was one of the ones that helped him get his job back and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, helped him with the whole situation. It was very similar to that when, you know, you hear Jonah saying about Sandra, like, to people, like, no, I threw her, we get along fine. I threw her a bridal shower, et cetera.
Yeah, Sandra.
It was like a very similar, they do a lot for that person. Like, he's never really had any problems with Sandra. And then you get an accidental injury here, and you get, you know, them kind of ripping into him. And it was kind of like the same thing with Mateo, just kind of ripping into Amy at times about how she manages or whatever. And, you know, that it's partly her fault that he got in trouble. Remember that? He was kind of saying he was told his mom or grandmother that it was her fault. Yeah, his aunt, that it was her fault. Stuff like that where you're like, okay, just be appreciative that they're helping you. Mm-hmm. Now, in this case, obviously, Sandra's going to take the word of her son, but can't they just find the footage?
Right. And,
you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also just in this episode, I mean, with the whole thing with Tony, because he didn't handle the beginning of it like he should have, which is essentially what caused a lot of that, but I think it's also people saying that because, like I said, I felt it more because of last week's episode. Like, it kind of bleeds through, you know, because of, like, the other week with the Amy stuff and that kind of thing. I think that's probably the only reason that people are, like, saying it feels like more than maybe it really is, because it, like, is just kind of consistent with the most previous episode, but...
No, but I think the issue is that, and I just saw people post on the subreddit as well, because I just decided to check it since you're talking about it, but and they explained it well to me there too. I know that Jonah is like a very good, you know, Ben Feldman's really good at playing bumbling, stumbling Jonah, but they don't even let him get a sentence out at times to explain what's going on, and some of these situations that they're creating for him, like him accidentally hitting him with something like this beer, can easily be explained away. And I think maybe that's a testament to if they had had him hit Tony some other way that maybe could look less accidental.
Right. Yeah.
It could have led to more of him having trouble explaining it. But when we're seeing it and it looks absurdly, you know, hey, it's clearly an accident. And if anybody actually looked at the security footage and saw it was an accident, that and they actually let him talk and tell his side, which you should do anytime you're... I get that's not part of a comedy, but, you know, it builds up to this, you know, where he's constantly on the back foot trying to explain himself, but nobody lets him explain himself. We had it just last week with him living in Amy's house where he tried to explain stuff and people would be like, oh, yeah, whatever you say, Jonah. And you get the same thing again with this, that it's... just kind of putting him to the ringer. Like you said, most of this stuff is his fault, right? Him still living at her house.
And
him
it's
accidentally hitting Tony, him not training Tony, all this kind of stuff. But when they don't even him talk, it gets frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not saying, I mean, yeah, I'd be the first, I mean, it's not like it's not his fault. It's just the continuation of everyone in the store being... you know, whatever word you want to throw in there with anybody, really. I mean, and this is not even just a Jonah thing right now, but they do this with, like, pretty much almost everyone. Like, you know, if something happens, they just jump to conclusions and, you know, go crazy with, like, the theories and the attitude and whatnot. It's just a thing everyone does with the store with almost everybody. I mean, I can't really think of anyone that they... don't do that with. Maybe not Dina, only because she's so over everybody, but you know what I mean. Like Casey said, they're all just deplorables.
Is that pretty much it for this? Do we want to go Golden Vest? Because I actually have something to bring up for that I didn't remember until now.
Oh, yeah.
I think my Golden Vest, I'll give mine out first, is going to go to the security guard once again here.
Really?
With his line about the shopping carts and, you know, needing a basket, using a basket, because then I thought his acting here was great with the, you know, if you come up in a crowded area, he can just put the basket above his head and kind of like shimmy through. And then Garrett asks, you know, what would you do if you need more than a basket full? And he said, I've thought about that, two baskets. I just thought he was... really great in this episode again. Runner up Saeed for me with the with his line about Jonah, you know, taking it out on the kids. Aylin, who did you have for Golden Vest?
I don't know. I don't feel like there's no one in my mind that's like really sticking out in a good way. I could like almost give it to somebody for being entertaining, but I wouldn't like to give it to them, if that makes sense. I don't know. Maybe, yeah, like, I kind of maybe want to say Saeed for that line. Also, I really liked the little funny stuff Glenn said at the end to Jonah as they were walking out with Jerusha and the, what did he say, hot dog something for Jonah and that other line. I know that seems kind of a random Golden Best winner, but I really don't want to, like, say Tony, and I really don't want to say anybody else, really. So we'll go with that.
Ratings real quick, and then we have a fan letter to get to, and I want to get your all takes on his question here. But the ratings, you know, pretty consistent. They don't really matter. It's 0.5. It went up in the last 2 weeks, so it's the highest it's been since hair care products, which is when it came back from break. So it's trending up again with 2.22 million viewers in 2.22 viewers in millions. The 0.5 was in the rating demographic of 18 to 49. So all in all, pretty consistent final season so far. The letter here we got. So like we mentioned last week, Superstore ended up on Netflix in like Canada, UK, Australia, I think recently. And we have a letter from a fan from the UK of Superstore here, and they've been listening to our show here. I've been watching Superstore for a while and am caught up. I've been trying to watch series 6, that's what they call seasons, but it's not on Netflix like the rest of it is in the UK, but I'm getting through it. I was confused and wanted to talk about Carol. I'm very confused about her character, and I don't think I'm the only one. The way Carol behaves is kind of weird. She seems like a normal person up until Sandra meeting Jerry. Carol shows off to Sandra with Jerry and is an unpleasant person. However, when Sandra has Jerry after, Carol is spiteful and has tried to ruin Sandra's life on multiple occasions. But then at some point, she calms down and accepts Jerry's choices and seems happy with Sandra. But that all goes down the drain when she tries to kill Biscuit at the wedding. She then tries to sue Zephra in one of the latest episodes after she was electrocuted. And when her and Cheyenne have spent the day together, she reveals that she's been recording her confessions all day. And she seems like some sort of sociopath. With her very strange behavior throughout the show. I've never understood Carol, and I am unsure of her status throughout the show. Sorry if my email is long, but I wanted to be cleared up about Carol. I like your cast and enjoy listening. Wish you all the best. Thanks, Jake. Thank you, Jake, for that lovely email. I'm going to give my thoughts first, and then we'll go Aylin and Casey here. I think, you know, with her seeming like a normal person up until Sandra meets Jerry at the bar, I think that's just character development. I think Carol was still kind of new at that point. Wasn't that season 2 or 3 when they first meet Jerry? It was like the girls' night out at brunch.
Ladies' lunch, yeah.
Ladies' lunch, yes. So I think that that's just, they didn't know what to do with Carol. And then, you know, they came up with this plot line. I think the inconsistencies you're maybe seeing is more about Carol being inconsistent as a person. I do think that at times this might be writing stuff, but I also think that when she is finally accepting of Sandra and Jerry, I don't think she is. I think this is where she starts putting that plot together for the whole Biscuit thing. And I think that, you know, she's trying to set it up so she's not crazy when she goes out and does that. Then, you know, obviously with the suing of Cloud Nine, I think this is ultimately her plan after she's trying to get back at somebody for something and maybe get some money as well. But I think, you know, since she's been back from that Biscuit situation, she's been very pleasant and kind. It's been freaking people out. And it's because of her trying to, as we've suggested, I think, trying to build character for like some sort of trial or deposition that's coming up here about, is she a trustworthy person? You know, is she saying what is true? And she's kind of establishing being turned a corner here. And then now with her being electrocuted, she thinks, I can spin this as I was turning a corner, but now they are, you know, forcing me to be in dangerous situations. They're trying to hurt me. I don't feel safe here, you know, that kind of thing. So I do think it's part of her ultimate plan. But I think when the show started out, they had no idea what Carol was going to be and kind of figured that out along the way. Aylin, what was your thoughts on Carol?
Yeah, I mean, really similar. And I have a whole lot less to say because I really just, I totally get what the person means. It's funny, when you were reading that, I really didn't get, but then I was like, well, that's true, you know, early on in the show, Carol is essentially just a, you know, kind of funny background character, like all of them start out to be, and then they start to realize where potential story could come from that, you know, and by the time they got to the point with Sandra and Jerry, they saw, okay, this could be a funny angle with her trying to, like, steal him, and then she did have him, and then she didn't, and she went berserk. But if there's any inconsistency there, I'd probably say the same thing. Like, it just, it's starting to be, it's Carol's character now that she's written as quote-unquote crazy and manipulative, especially, you know, now because she's, you know, very aware of being back at work is uncomfortable for everyone else. No one wants to work with her. She's having to act friendly and, you know, buddies with certain people to sort of almost get, you know, in, get power and manipulate people and all this stuff, like Cheyenne with that last bit. I think I'm more surprised by, you know, like that the writers took her that far, you know, to that level. Yeah. Like, only when I think about it now in the sense of Sandra's wedding, because she legit tried to kill her cat, I never would have seen that coming. I, you know, just thought it was going to be a funny, you stole my man, I'm trying to steal him back type of a, you know, thing. I'm surprised they've taken it this far. And now she's suing the store. But yeah, she's just trying to get back now at people, and she can't do anything about Sandra and Jared anymore, you know? So she's like moving on to bigger pastures. Yeah.
Thanks, Jake, for the email once again here. We're going to take a look real quick at the next episode, which is entitled Conspiracy. This is the one that Colton Dunn wrote.
Woohoo.
It's episode 9 of season 6, airing Thursday, February 11th. Here's the synopsis. Glenn is confused by Zephra's new store policies and enlists help of Sandra and Marcus to figure out what's going on. A memory lapse causes Jonah to question his friendship with Garrett. Cheyenne and Mateo face an unexpected challenge with their ongoing beef.
That's gonna be good.
I do like that this Mateo Cheyenne storyline is being longer than just one episode.
Yeah, same. Because a lot of the time on Superstore, for better or for worse, storylines don't last very long, you know? Unless it's like a really overarching, you know, one. Something about the store. But, oh, I bet that's gonna just get to another level next week with Cheyenne and Mateo.
Yeah, do you think this lasts longer than the next one here, or are we, or is it wrapped up this week, you think?
I don't know, but Mateo needs somebody to say something to him. I don't know what, but...
Yeah. So if you want to send us fan mail the way that Jake just did, you can email us, thebreakroomss@gmail.com, facebook.com/breakroomsuperstore, Instagram at TBR Podcast, Twitter at TBR Podcast. You can also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, most of your podcasting hubs that you listen to. And we'll be here next week to break down Conspiracy as we talk all about Colton Dunn's episode next week. If you are interested about the writing process and how stuff gets assigned, Colton went over that with us in his interview that he did with us in the, when was that? Like before the season started? That was last year, I think now. So you can go ahead and find that episode in our feed. He, you know, we ask him about that. He talks about his time writing for Key and Peele. He talks about his time on Parks and Recreation as one of the animal control guys. So if you're a Colton Dunn fan and you want to prepare for, hey, how did he write this episode? How did he get assigned which episode they're writing? All that stuff is covered in that interview. And it's a great time because Colton is just a great guy. And we were lucky to have him on. But we'll catch you all next week. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And I hope everybody enjoys the show. And hopefully, if you're watching the Super Bowl, hopefully you enjoy it. May your team win. Thank you. See you later.